The speed of our inner voice. Let's face it, everyone talks to themselves. While it might not seem surprising, the speed at which we do it is astonishing. A study from 1990 found that our inner speech races at about 4,000 words per minute. Speaking those words out loud would take nearly an hour. Humans have been annoyed by their inner voices for ages. Early Christian mystics and Chinese Buddhists struggled with their inner voices interrupting meditation. Interestingly, people who stutter have clear inner speech and deaf individuals use sign language internally. Our inner voices are a natural part of our minds. But why do they exist? According to natural selection, introspection must offer some evolutionary advantage. Humans are unique because we find meaning in our experiences. This ability comes from our inner voices, which help us think about our actions, learn from our mistakes, and plan for the future. We start developing this voice in infancy. As we learn to speak, it helps us with self-control. Russian psychologist Lev Vygotsky observed toddlers talking to themselves. He found that by imitating their parents' instructions, children learn to manage their emotions. As they grow, they start using their own words to control themselves. The role of inner voices in shaping identity. Our inner voices help us stay focused on our goals, like getting a promotion or impressing someone we like. These thoughts remind us of what we aim to achieve. We also use our minds to imagine different scenarios, such as what messages to send to a crush and their possible reactions. These inner voices are crucial in forming our identities. By thinking about ourselves and our experiences, we build meaningful stories about who we are. A strong sense of identity helps us grow, understand our values, and handle difficult times better. How our brains handle information. Which is easier to remember, 800-520-6755 or 8,005,206,755? The first one, right? That's because it's split into three parts, while the second is a long, unbroken string of 10 digits. This shows how our minds can handle only 3 to 5 pieces of information at once, and that's when conditions are ideal. If there's too much distraction, our minds slow down. Our brain's executive functions work like a computer. They help us focus on what's important, ignore distractions, and put energy into tasks like writing an email or cooking. These functions take over when instinct isn't enough to guide us. But like a computer, they can only process a limited amount of data at a time. When we overthink, it drains the neurons needed for these executive functions. You've felt this if you've ever tried to read a book after an argument with your partner. In high-stakes situations, overthinking becomes even more of a problem. The dangers of excessive chatter. Chatter, or talking excessively about our negative thoughts, can harm our executive functions and social relationships. In the 1980s, psychologist Bernard Ramey discovered that we feel compelled to talk about our negative thoughts. When we have too much chatter, we need to vent. However, ironically, the more we share with supportive friends, the more we may push them away. Relationships require listening, too, and people with intense negative emotions often struggle to know when to stop talking. Moreover, chronic chatter can negatively impact our health. In 2007, the author conducted an MRI study showing that physical and emotional pain activate the same brain areas. Emotional pain, like physical pain, causes stress. While stress helps us handle urgent situations, chatter makes it chronic. Numerous studies have shown that chronic stress can lead to severe health issues like cardiovascular problems and cancer. In summary, excessive chatter has serious negative consequences. The more we get consumed by chatter and expression, the more isolated and painful our lives can become. Lincoln's romantic troubles and advice on chatter. In 1841, Abraham Lincoln faced romantic problems. He was engaged but fell in love with another woman. By the next year, Lincoln happily married and moved on. However, his friend Joshua Speed experienced the same issue. With a fresh perspective, Lincoln easily advised Speed. Getting distance from our thoughts helps us see them. When we focus too much on our emotions, we become overwhelmed, leading to depression and anxiety. Our stress response kicks in, causing us to focus even more on the problem, losing all perspective. Imagine one of your bad memories as a video on your phone. Now, see that event as if it's happening to someone else, and you're just another person in the room. This is called the fly-on-the-wall perspective. Studies show that people who use this technique understand their problems better and feel less stress and emotional impact. Perspective-taking techniques. Before the 2008 U.S. election, a study asked participants to imagine living in another country and discovering their chosen candidate lost. Interestingly, they were more willing to work with the supporters of the winning candidate. Another study on relationship infidelity found that when participants imagined their friend being cheated on, they were more likely to suggest compromise with the cheating partner. A useful technique for managing stress is temporal distancing. For example, if you're stressed about a work deadline, think about how insignificant it will seem in 10 years. This method works for various stressors, big and small. Remembering that pandemics like COVID-19 have come and gone throughout history can help you realize it will eventually pass and life will return to normal. Learning to view ourselves from a distance, much like how we view others, leads to greater wisdom. Wisdom comes from seeing the bigger picture and recognizing the limits of our knowledge. Mr. Rogers and self-talk. In 1979, Fred Rogers, known for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, wrote himself a letter filled with doubts about his TV show writing skills. Surprisingly, he started speaking to himself in the third person, asking, "Am I kidding myself?" and criticizing his abilities. Towards the end, though, he changed his tone, urging himself, "I've got to do it. Get to it, Fred." Unbeknownst to him, Mr. Rogers was practicing a technique called distanced self-talk. This method has been proven to reduce shame, lower stress levels, and improve decision-making. It all begins with simply using your name when talking to yourself. Usually, we talk to ourselves using I, known as I talk. For example, we might think, "Why did I get so angry earlier?" or "Why was I so stupid?" This type of self-talk is often connected to negative thinking patterns. One study even found that the amount of I talk in people's Facebook posts could predict bouts of depression. Distanced self-talk and its benefits. A study by the author found that using distanced self-talk, addressing yourself by name or using second and third person pronouns, helps reduce emotional stress. This technique was measured with an electroencephalogram machine, showing a significant decrease in brain activity within just 1 second of use. Mr. Rogers used distanced self-talk to turn the fear of failure into a challenge. Unlike a threat, a challenge is something you can face head-on. This approach not only reduces mental chatter but also positively affects the cardiovascular system. When stressed, arteries tighten, but with a challenging mindset, they stay more relaxed. Lastly, the universal you helps us step back and gain perspective. You hear it in song lyrics or from athletes saying how you have to handle things. Using the universal you helps recognize shared struggles, quieting internal chatter. Why sharing feelings might not always help. In 2008, after the shootings at Northern Illinois University and Virginia Tech, researchers from the University of Illinois studied how students were handling their grief. They discovered that many students joined Facebook groups to express their emotions. Although this online sharing provided comfort, it didn't reduce long-term depression and PTSD symptoms. But why is this? Aren't we taught that expressing our emotions is good for us? Aristotle and Freud thought so, encouraging people to release their inner pain. Even as babies, we cry until our parents respond to our needs. So why does sharing our feelings sometimes make us feel worse? When we feel bad, we want to be comforted because it makes us feel safe. This helps meet our emotional needs, and when these needs are met, our brains release feel-good chemicals. However, to handle negative thoughts, we need not just support but also someone who can help us see the situation differently. The issue is that when we're hurting, we focus more on empathy than perspective. People we turn to often support this by engaging in co-rumination, where they ask for every detail and offer sympathy. But recounting what happened makes us relive the negative event and feel worse. They ask more questions, and the cycle continues. Find supportive people for solutions. To solve problems, it's essential to find people who make us feel heard and help guide us toward solutions. The FBI uses this approach in hostage negotiations, combining active listening and empathy to build trust and influence behavior. In other words, when seeking support from loved ones, choose those who help you find solutions instead of dwelling on problems. Remember, your brother might be great for family issues but not the best for work-related ones. So, try to create a board of advisors with different people to help you navigate the various aspects of your life. Green views improve focus and happiness. In the 1990s, Ming Kuo, a researcher from the University of Illinois, discovered that residents of Chicago housing projects had better attention spans if their windows overlooked green areas. This increased focus led to more positive thinking. Later research in England and Canada confirmed that being around green spaces makes people happier. Why? Nature uniquely captures our attention, pulling us away from distractions and helping us recharge. There are two types of attention. Voluntary attention happens when you actively focus on something, like solving a crossword puzzle or driving a car. This type of attention uses your willpower and can be tiring. Involuntary attention, it is different. It occurs when something naturally grabs your interest, like a beautiful sunset. This kind of attention helps you relax and recharge. In the 1970s, psychologists Stephen and Rachel Kaplan suggested that spending time in nature refreshes your attention span. Nature captures your involuntary attention and fills you with awe, a strong emotion that helps you take a break from focusing. This allows your voluntary attention to recover and recharge. Boost brain power and managing chatter. Many studies have supported Kaplan's findings that a short walk in nature improves cognitive performance. This makes sense because if you can't focus, you can't use techniques to manage your inner chatter. But awe isn't exclusive to nature. You can feel it at a great concert or when you see a baby's first steps. There are other ways to shift focus from yourself. One method is organizing your surroundings. Tennis star Rafael Nadal, for example, has specific habits like lining up his water bottles perfectly, which helps calm his mind. Organizing isn't just for stressful situations. It also boosts your confidence in reaching your goals and impacts how much effort you put into achieving them. One of the simplest and most effective ways to get organized is to tidy up your space. Remember this the next time you feel like skipping house cleaning. The power of placebos and lucky charms. In 1777, Franz Mesmer claimed to cure pianist Maria Theresia von Paradis's blindness using animal magnetism, a method involving magnets and lots of talking. However, Mesmer was later exposed as a fraud. His technique only demonstrated the power of the placebo effect. While placebos are mainly used in medical studies, people have believed in the power of objects for centuries. In medieval times, King Solomon's seal was thought to ward off demons. Even today, people still use lucky charms. For instance, Michael Jordan always wore his old college shorts under his uniform for good luck. Studies show that placebos, like sugar pills or lucky charms, can ease both physical and emotional pain. Why? Because our brains love making predictions. For example, even walking depends on predicting where to step safely. When you take a pill for a headache, you believe it will help, and this belief can actually make you feel better. We learn many of these beliefs from our families and cultures, often through rituals. Think about the different ways people cope with grief, like funerals or memorial services. People also create their own rituals. For example, baseball player Wade Boggs always fielded 150 ground balls before each game, and Steve Jobs talked to himself in the mirror every day. Benefits of rituals in reducing anxiety and stress. Rituals serve as effective tools to reduce mental chatter, offering multiple levels of relief. Firstly, they divert our attention from problems, lowering anxiety. Secondly, rituals provide a sense of order and control because they are within our power to perform. Lastly, these practices connect us with our values and communities, easing feelings of isolation. Establishing rituals is straightforward. For example, when the author feels stuck while working, he has a simple ritual of doing the dishes. This small action helps him bypass stress and mental chatter. Ultimately, these techniques aim to create distance between individuals and their inner chatter. While internal dialogue is natural, rituals prevent it from overwhelming and disrupting daily life. Key points. 1. Inner speech races at 4,000 words per minute, influencing our thoughts and behaviors daily. 2. Rituals reduce anxiety by diverting attention and providing a sense of control and community. 3. Distanced self-talk, as Mr. Rogers used, can lower stress and improve decision-making. 4. Nature's green views enhance focus and happiness by capturing involuntary attention. 5. Chronic chatter can harm executive functions and health, linking emotional and physical pain. 6. Perspective-taking techniques, like temporal distancing, aid in stress management and problem-solving. 7. Placebos and lucky charms demonstrate the power of belief in easing both physical and emotional pain.